Thank you, Father God. I would ask that you all remain right where you're at least where I hope you're at. And that is in the presence of God as we worship him. I'm going to ask now those who are going to distribute the sacraments for taking of Holy Communion this morning, if they would do so while we sing this next song. So we're going to do another song, and I'll join in singing just like you have been while these sacraments are being distributed, and we will then, after the song is over, partake of them together. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Let us take together."
Thank you.
Now I will say, as I did before we sang that song and took communion, to remain right where you're at in the presence of God. Don't think that just because that ended that you should leave where you're at. In fact, we're going to spend the whole rest of the morning right here. That's my hope. In the presence of God. What happens in the presence of God? It says there is fullness of joy. So if a smile happens to creep on your face, it's okay. So in other words, you don't have to sit there and frown the whole time just because we're in the presence of God. In fact, if you'll remember the teaching I did quite some time ago, I taught on joy, and I said one of the words that's translated as joy, it says a calm delight. Yes. Literally, it's the place where a smile won't leave your face because you have the joy of God. And so if it happens to creep on your face, that's a good thing, is all I'm saying. I'd like to have a word of prayer. I always like to start with prayer before I share, because frankly, I need his help, okay, in sharing. So Father God, we just thank you for today, the day that you have made. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us new life. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here today, our teacher, giving me your words to share exactly what you want me to share. And thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So once again, let's just remain in the presence of God. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. Some of you know me, and I've shared this before. You might get the idea from me up here. I can talk. And I literally remember a time in high school when I was being asked a question. The whole class was being asked a question by our science teacher. Back then, you could get away with doing what he was doing. Now that he would probably be no longer a teacher, they would get rid of him. Because what he was doing, I don't know if you ever remember those old, they were metric sticks. Not a yardstick, but they had metric measurements, and they were about this thick. And it was like 39 point something inches long. Well, he had taught on something for quite some time, and he was going around the room, and he was basically dubbing people, you know, like you would a king, only he was doing it on top of their head, and he was saying, "You dunce," when you answered the question wrong. And he came to me, and he's about to do this to me, and I'm going, okay, I don't want hitting the top of the head with this. So I talked for about the next 10 minutes, and he looked at me afterwards. He goes, "You'd make a good president." And then he hit me on top of the head and called me a dunce because I had the answer wrong. But I was able to talk for quite some time. Never come out with the right answer. I was hoping in there somewhere I'd find it. That's not what I'm hoping to do today. I'm hoping I've got all the right words because I've asked him to lead me as to what I'm to share. Okay? So, but I am going to do something a little different this morning. It's one of those things you learn when you start speaking is typically, especially if something's being recorded, you don't allow what would be known as dead space. And that is, you keep talking, because typically if you do pauses, you lose people. So it wouldn't necessarily in public speaking be the right thing to do. But how many of you know when God says to do it this way, it's the right thing to do? And more or less, he instructed me to do it this way today. Okay? So what we're going to do is, first I'm going to start by reading something. I want you to all go to the passage that we just, that I just shared with you in taking communion. And this version of the Last Supper and what Jesus said, I took from Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. As you know, there are accounts in Matthew and Mark, and this is the one from Luke. And I'm going to do something that my good friend, and I'm sure many of you who now have gotten to know him much better over the last couple of months, Pastor Bob Hawk would do. And he does this all the time. And it causes you to think, which is what I'm looking to do here. Here's what he would do. Verse 19, reading it, says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this, remembering all the things that I've done for you.'" Is that what your Bible says? He does this all the time. And the answer is no, it's not what it says. Okay? Now, this is something that I know from listening to Randy. He says this all the time. I'm not looking to make a doctrine out of this. Okay? However, we want to look at what it says here and do what it says here. This is what God impressed upon me today. Yes. I have actually taught an entire teaching here back when I was talking about thankfulness and that God wants us to be thankful. We are thankful for all that God and Jesus has done for us. This is a very good thing. God wants us to be thankful. And so I'm not saying don't be thankful. Don't thank him for what he's done. I'm just not saying that's not really what it's saying here. In a way it is, and you'll see this in a moment. But it says, do this in remembrance of me. So we're to be taking the blood and the bread to do what? To remember him and who he is. Let me ask you a question. Are you who you are because of what you do? No. Or do you do because of who you are? It's the same way with God. God does, and Jesus has done, and is doing what he does because of who he is. So if we get a better understanding of who Jesus is, we will then get a better understanding of him, his character, and why he's done the things that he's done for us. So today, we're going to spend time looking at what the Word of God says, who this Jesus is, that we are to be remembering. Okay? And this is what God impressed upon me today. So once again, anyone listening, don't say, Alan said, don't think about what Jesus has done for you. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'd encourage you to do that every day. What I'm saying is he impressed upon me today is to look at who he is and remember him for who he is. I will also say he's impressed upon me. I actually found it difficult this week to develop this teaching or sermon or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes I teach, sometimes I preach, and sometimes it's a mixture of the two. But I would start out going, oh, I remember Jesus is this. And then I remember Jesus is this. And then I get to the next one, and then I would stop typing or taking notes because I was lost in who he was. And so I'd have to start the next day, and I go, and I get through two or three things, and I go, oh, I'm lost again. So what I'm encouraging you to do is, if any of you get lost on any of these today, that's perfectly fine, because that's what God wants you to do. So if you're with me till the end, fine, but if we reach a point and God just has you dwell on that, great. I would love that to happen. I will encourage you, he's impressed upon me this for me, and I allow God to be God to everyone else, okay? He's God to me, so if he tells me I should do something, I do it. But I can also encourage others to go, okay, if God's encouraging me to do this, you might want to take it to him and say, would you like me to do this too? Okay? So I'm not saying this is a have to. This is a check with God and see if he might have you do this too. He's just more or less impressed upon me, do this every day. I'm actually certain that there are enough, let's put it this way, specific areas of God's character, Jesus' character, talked about in his holy word, that you could meditate on a different one every single day of the month.
Absolutely.
We're only going to look at a few of them today because we just don't have time to go to all of them. But as we do, and this is where I say these gaps may come in, I'm going to encourage you to think on and remember him as who he is when we're talking about who he is. In these specific areas that the Bible makes clear, this is who Jesus is. So the first one I want you to go to is found in John chapter 10 and verses 30 through 33. Now, in this one, he doesn't come right out and say it. In many of these verses that we will read, he will just say, I am this, and it's plain as day. Okay? All I can tell you is that in this passage, everyone that listened to him as he said this knew what he was saying when he said it. They knew what it meant and what he was saying when he said it. Okay? So let's read this. John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. So the first thing I want you to remember is Jesus is God. Sometimes we can make a distinction, and even the Bible in some places separates out, and we'll actually be going there very soon, that yes, Jesus was a man too. But he never stopped being God even when he was man. That can be a little bit difficult to understand, and we have to take that by faith, because in our natural mind, it may not quite compute. But because the Word of God says it, we know it's true. It's that simple. Well, if I can find it in God's Word, I know I have truth. And I do believe it. It's that simple. And it says that while he was man, he was still God. He didn't stop being God. But he is, in fact, God. To me, that's the starting place when we're thinking about Jesus. Anytime you see that name of Jesus, one of the thoughts, one of the ways to remember him is, this is talking about God here. Yes. Whatever it is you're reading, it's talking about God. Okay? So, once again, that little space of time. Go ahead as we go on to the next one, even as you're looking at the next one up. Just think about the fact that Jesus is God. Now, I know for most of you, I recognize, I do believe everyone's face. I may not know all of your names, but you've been here long enough to, I'm sure, all know this. In other words, I can say that probably nothing I share to you today will be new to you. However, it may be something you haven't remembered in a while. Pastor Bob also has another saying. He says, you can't remember what you didn't remember first. Once again, that's Bob. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. He can irritate me with those things, but they stick, is all I will say. Because of that, they stick, okay? But I'm sure all of you know these things. So all this verse is saying, remember me as these things you know, and take time to remember me. That's what it says. It says, do this in remembrance of me. So in other words, by saying that we take this bread and this blood to remember him, and he's the one saying to do it, he's literally saying, I want you to remember me. And here's one way you do it, is by taking communion. And in doing it, remember me. Okay? So the next one we're going to look at is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 32 and 33. You will find that all of these are greatly linked together because he's not one or the other. He's all of these all of the time. So though we talk about them separately, he's all one. He's one with God, but he's all of these all of the time. These are just different ways for us to see who he is, what his character is like. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 32 and 33, it says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Now, these men in the boat, guess who they were? They were the disciples. Okay, so they knew him about as good as anybody. He'd spent some time with them. And they had just witnessed Peter and Jesus walking on water. Peter's attempt, well, he walked on water, didn't quite last as long as Jesus because Jesus walked out to them. And they're watching him walk and they're going, we're kind of afraid of what this is coming at us until they recognize this is Jesus. And Peter says, "If this is you, call me and I'll come out." Okay? So, but their response, once he got on the boat and it says that there was great waves, which is kind of what Peter got his eyes off from Jesus and onto the waves, and the circumstances around him is the reason he began to fall, because he took his eyes off from Jesus. But when they got in the boat, they all came and worshiped him and said, "You are the Son of God." This is the next thing I want you to remember Jesus as. And that we should, when we see the name of Jesus, we should remember we're talking about the Son of God here. In that, there are some things that we can see. We can watch the Son's interaction with the Father. It's talked about throughout God's Word. And know that because he has saved us, we too are now sons of our Father. Therefore, he has given us a pattern for our life as a son to our Father. So as we read this, look at the Son. Remember the Son, and how did the Son interact with his Father? It'll give you a good idea or a look at how you should interact with our Father God. Okay? And in that relationship with him as true sons of God. Next, we're going to look at one that I mentioned briefly earlier. And in fact, this is one that I didn't know until I looked it up. It is actually the way that... Now, did I do a detailed study? Because that's not what this was about. This wasn't about coming up with a teaching. It was all sorts of interesting facts for you to have. It was about remembering God. But I looked just long enough to find somewhere that told me this. So did I verify it? No. But could I immediately think of many different times where this phrase or this way of telling us who God is? And when I saw this, it said that this was the way that Jesus himself most often referred to himself. So this is what Jesus called himself. So if he called himself this, then we ought to recognize him as that, correct? I would be interesting to hear guesses. I can tell you I'd have failed the test if you'd asked me. I'd have got it wrong. If I were to ask you, how did Jesus most often call himself, or how did he say who he said he was most often in the Bible? And the answer is Son of Man. It's actually, depending on the translation you look at, the phrase Son of Man is used 82 to 88 times in the New Testament. And most of the time, it's Jesus saying, like to the disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? But he would refer to himself that way over and over and over again. Let's look at one such passage. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Yes. Now, once again, I was talking about we're looking at who he is. But what I will say is, much of who he is can be seen in what he does. Okay? In other words, when you think of your best friend, and let's say you know them well, often you think of what they've done, what you've done together, and it's how you kind of remember them. But as I said, often what they do comes out of who they are. I can think of a story, and I won't go into all the details. All I can say is, as I was preparing this, it took me to a thought. One of my, I don't know if you label friends, you could call the, I don't know what we, I don't think we had a name for ourselves, but there were basically five of us guys that hung around together throughout our 20s, okay? Late teens, once you get out of high school, into the 20s. And this young man, one of my, what I would say, best five friends growing up, passed away while I was in Tanzania. He's the same age, or was the same age as I. And as I was preparing this, and he's saying, well, remember me, I started remembering some of the things that me and this young man at the time did in our late teens and in our 20s. And I can remember one thing in particular, and I won't share a name. Those who know the story and know my best friends might be able to connect the dots. All I could say is I thought of one thing. We used to golf a lot together. And I will say that he broke his three wood about three times in 3 years. His mother just couldn't understand it. He had different explanations, but I knew the real explanation because I was on the golf course with him when it happened. He would use it like the hammer throw. He could throw it 100. He could throw it 120 yards. He'd hit the ball 20, throw it 120 into the trees, and it would break. Okay, so that came out of who he was at the time, is all I will say, okay? And to me, it's not to speak disparagingly of my friend. It's just something that comes to my mind because it's something we did together. We golfed a lot, and his temper could get the best of him every once in a while when he didn't hit a good golf shot, is all I will say. Not speaking badly of him at all, but you often remember those things that you someone has done around you and with you and for you. And in this case, what we want to see here and remember is, it says he became human. That's part of what this means in the Son of Man. Is it's not just implied, it's very much saying he became man. He became human. And as such, that enabled him, not that he couldn't already as God, but the Bible makes it very clear that it was advantageous for us that he did in more ways than one. Yeah. And one of those ways we can look at, and it's found in Hebrews 12:3. And many of you know this verse. It's one that, once again, if you sat in church for any time, you may very well know. It says, "For consider him who endured such suffering, such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." You see, he's gone through all that you're going through and have gone through. And as such, he can relate better than anybody. He's been through it all. He's been through all that you've gone through and a lot worse. And he is now advocating for you at the right hand of the Father, knowing exactly what you're going through down here, because he became man and went through those things for you. Okay? And so keep that in mind as you're thinking of God. Now, what I will also say is, I mentioned that Jesus most often refers to himself as this Son of Man. I'm only talking about the part that we just mentioned, and that is that I want you to recognize that he did become human flesh. But in that name, Son of Man, there was and is a lot more implied. It would take an entire Bible study, an entire Sunday teaching, and I'm going to give that to you as a homework assignment. How's that? Knowing you all love homework. I'll tell you, if you want to find out all else that's in this name, and when Jesus was using it, he was wanting people to recognize, yes, I may be human, but I'm this too. And like the fact that when he said he was God, those who were listening understood. They understood too, because they knew the Old Testament. Okay? So you can go back to the book of Daniel and there find out what Jesus meant in totality by what he said, I am the Son of Man. So if you want to find out more, I'll leave that to those of you who really want to find out, because if you don't, you won't do it. If you want to find out, you'll go back to Daniel and find out. What did he mean in totality when he was saying this? Okay? And that will also help you more clearly see his character, who he says he is. Because once again, this is him saying it. I am the Son of Man. No one knows better who he is than he himself, right? He's God, okay? So he knows. So you can learn about his character, learn more and more of him. If you've if you read the word on a certain area and you're not quite getting it, ask him, show me more, make it clear to me who you are. He's not going to withhold that from you. He wants you to know. So trust me, do I have the full picture of everything that I'm saying to you? I am sure that I do not. I know in part, as the word says. I know what he's revealed to me this point in time. He's encouraged me to take these and he'll show me more.
Yes.
To me, that's exciting. So I get to do that. I don't have to. He's once again, I always say, God doesn't give suggestions. He gives commands. He's that way with me when he speaks to me through the Spirit. If he says, you should do this, he's not recommending it. He's saying, you need to do this because I've spoken this to you to do. Once again, I can't say that to any of you because he didn't say that to you. He said it to me. Okay? All I'm saying is, it wouldn't be a bad thing if he said that to you too. Okay? I'll allow God to be God. Okay? If he does it, then do it, because he doesn't make suggestions, is all I'm saying. Okay? So, let's go to the next one. Let's go to John, chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. It says, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus, once again, he knows who he is. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he.
Yes.
So he's saying, guess who I am? It's not a guess, it's pretty clear. He's saying, I am the Messiah. How many of you know what Messiah means? When you go back and look at what that word means, when you pull it out of the Hebrew, I'm sure we have many Hebrew scholars in here. Actually, maybe not scholars. I'm not one. But I will say that probably most of you, because you've sat here under Pastor Bill's teaching, knows that that word Messiah means the anointed one. Okay. He is God's anointed one. He was sent by God to be our deliverer and the king and the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy. That's what we get when we hear the word Messiah. He was called the Messiah, that there was this Messiah coming as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So, the anointed one was prophesied of in the Old Testament. And Jesus says to this woman at the well, I am he. I am the anointed one of God. So let's remember him, because that's what we're doing. As this, Jesus is the anointed one. Now, if you're not sure exactly what that means, more homework. Go find out what it means. You're not clear what it means to be the anointed one. Next, we're going to go look at this one. We often think of John as having a certain name for Jesus, and he called him this other name quite a bit. In fact, I don't know that we're even going to go there today. But he also called him a second name a couple of times. And it's the one that came to my mind. In each one of these, I didn't I just sit there and let God kind of show me, remember, like, okay, well, what do I remember him as? And it came up that he's the Lamb of God. And in John 1:29, we see this. John 1:29 says, the next day, well, and this is actually, I actually spoke wrong initially, because it's John, the disciple, that had one specific name for him. This here is actually John the Baptist. And when Jesus approaches John the Baptist, this is what John the Baptist says. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this is how we should remember him. It's one of those things that we definitely should be remembering today, of all days, if you're going to do it in a year, and this weekend per se, Friday through Sunday. He is and was, I don't want to say just was, because that sounds like it's past tense and he's gone, because he's not. I like the fact today that here, and in our bulletin, and when I hear people talk, we call this Resurrection Sunday. I can tell you, as I grew up, they called it Easter. And the Sunday morning service was all about Jesus still on the cross or in the tomb dead. That always rubbed me the wrong way. I'm serious. I'm sitting there. Now, can I say that we couldn't have today without those? Okay? We couldn't get to the fact that he's risen and now alive and made us alive without the fact that he died and was dead in the grave. But on Sunday morning, I was already like, he's alive and so am I. Yes. Let's not leave him on the cross or in the grave. That was just me. And now because I'm speaking, I get to share that, and so I feel better about it. But it did. It always rubbed me the wrong way. It seemed like we were leaving him there, and I'm like, no. This is not the place to leave him. He's alive. Okay? And because he's alive, we're alive. But I want you to notice this. It says he was the Lamb of God. You do know that, all of you know, that before this, they basically had to have sacrificial animals to deal with the sin issue. Okay? But in this Lamb of God, we had the one and only perfect sacrifice. Yes. Perfect in that he was the only one until that time and since that time and ever will be possible to be in time sacrifice to pay the price that had to be paid for man's sin. And that is part of what you should be remembering him as in this Lamb of God. He is the only one that could pay this price, and he did as the Lamb of God, therefore taking away the sins of the world. So now we're going to look at the most obvious name. And I've said the name many times right from the beginning. But in that name, there is something more than just implied. It is who he is. And that is the name of Jesus. We call him Jesus. And in that name, Jesus, in calling him Jesus, once again, the people of that day knew what Jesus meant. They knew Hebrew. They were Hebrew scholars, especially those scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees. They all knew all the Hebrew. Unlike me, they knew what Jesus meant. Jesus actually comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which if you go back and look at the root word that forms the word Yeshua, it means salvation and deliverer. That's what's in the name of Jesus. He is our salvation. He is our deliverer. It's right there in front of our eyes, and we should remember that whenever we see that name Jesus. It should shout at you, my salvation. My deliverer, this is who he is. Yes. Now, I think you will probably notice this is one of the reasons why you can't really totally separate who he is and what he's done. Because in a lot of these names, you see that what he's done comes right out of who he is. They're right in his names. He has saved us. He has delivered us. He will keep delivering us. It is what he does, but it's out of who he is. He literally is this. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. This is the account of there was a man in the synagogue, and the Bible talks a bit about him even before they have him say this. And what you find it interesting, because oftentimes in the Bible it talks about that man really in and of himself really can't be good. And in most cases is just plain downright bad and evil. Here it actually takes time to talk about this man Simeon in a specific way. And they say he was a just and devout man. And when he saw him, he said in Luke 2:30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." In other words, he's seen the salvation that God our Father has provided for us when he sent his Son to the world to live an unblemished life without sin, and then to be sacrificed, shed his blood for us. And this man got to see. He literally looked and he said, with his eyes. This is what it says. "My eyes have now seen your salvation." And he was looking at the child, Jesus, when he said that. So once again, when you see the name of Jesus, be thinking of your salvation. Whenever you read it, it should be going right into your mind. You should just be remembering, Jesus, my deliverer, my salvation. Once again, I'm sure I haven't shared one thing with you today that you don't already know. The key is are you remembering him as this? Are you remembering him as this? Because that's what he's encouraging. In this passage we looked at, he says, more or less he's saying, I want you to remember me. Here's one way you're going to do it. It's going to be by taking communion. Okay? So he wants us to be remembering him. Let's next look at John 14:6. We'll find another one. This is one again that I'm sure all of you know. In fact, it lists three here, but I'm going to focus just on one of them. If you want to look more into the other two, I'll let you do that as homework. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the way. So once again, when you see that name Jesus, or you're remembering him, think, what he's saying there, he's saying, I am the only way. There is no other way. Any other God that any other religion has formulated, let's see, I'll use incorrect grammar. It ain't going to work. And I usually keep things grammatically correct if I can. But it's just the way it came to my mind. It's not working, because he's saying there is only one way, and that he himself is the way to our Father God. He actually arranged, without him, we wouldn't be able to walk into the Holy of Holies in God's presence and see Jesus sit at the right hand of the Father and go right there in his presence when we pray. He is our way there. So let's remember him as such. Okay? So we've got three more. This is working out time-wise. I always try not to keep people over too long. What I will do at the end is there are a few others that, once again, that came to mind that I knew I wasn't going to have time for us to even go to. I'll throw a few of them out. But I will say even in that, this is not an all-inclusive list. You'll be able to come up with many more. In fact, you're probably thinking them as I'm going through these. If any of you are like me, you're thinking, oh, he hasn't said this one yet. What about this one? Here's this one. That's, once again, if I was sitting in my seat, that's what I would be doing. even though I should be focusing on the ones that we're talking about. I know me, so I can tell on myself. Okay, so the next one I want you to look at is found in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. So this is being prophesied by Isaiah, but it's saying who this one who is to come is. Okay, so once again, it's who he is. Isaiah 26 says, and this just lays some background to where we're ultimately going to go. Here Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, meaning Jesus who is to come, the iniquity of us all. So that's Isaiah 26:3. Next, I'd have you look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Because here, this is elaborated upon. It takes the starting point from Isaiah, all we like sheep, so he's kind of linking us to sheep, and saying we've gone astray, okay? And in Matthew 9:36, he was talking to a multitude of people, so this is Jesus speaking once again. And he's saying to this group of people, you're weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So those who, he's talking to those who don't have a shepherd. They're lost and they're gone astray. And they're weary and they're scattered around. They don't know where they should be at. You see, when you find God, he'll show you right where you're supposed to be at. Okay? He will lead you in his righteousness, which another way to look at this, there's a couple ways. One, righteousness is in right standing with God, but it's also in his right ways. He will lead you in his right paths. In other words, he'll keep you going right where you're supposed to go. Okay? But here he's talking about those sheep who've been, they've gone astray. So they don't have what they need. What they need can be found in John chapter 10, verse 11. Once again, this is Jesus speaking, and he knows of whom he's talking about because he's talking about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This good shepherd is constantly protecting us, caring for us as he guides us on his right paths. So once again, when we think of Jesus, let's be thinking about him. This is my good shepherd, and he's protecting me, he's caring for me, he's leading me down the paths that he wants me to go down. This is our good shepherd. We're not lost and scattered anymore. If we received him, he's our good shepherd. So let's remember him as such. So these last two that we're going to go to are tied together. And because they're found in the same verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. In fact, if you were to go to the book of Revelation, you would find that they're in the same verse together there as well. Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, it says, which he, and this he here means Jesus, will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potentate, which means sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So as you're remembering him, remember this Jesus is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Now, if you remember, well, we'll talk about Lord of lords first, and then we'll go to this last one. And looking at King of Kings. When you look at him as the Lord of Lords, in Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus saying again, says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Though it doesn't say Lord of Lords there, that's what he's declaring. He's saying all authority that God the Father has given to me, his Son, who we've already established, he is the Son of God, his Father. And he's saying all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. And that's what it means to be Lord. You have authority. What you say goes. Okay? Now to the last one. I will say I started by sharing that If during any of these, that calm delight caused a smile to come to your face, that it was fine. In fact, I would encourage it. This last one, there's another definition or another word that's translated as joy in God's word. And it literally means you're so full of joy that you can't stop it from bursting out and bubbling over so that you're shouting praises and you can't control it. This last one should bring you to this, is what I will say. In the Old Testament, it speaks of this Jesus who we're remembering, and it says he is the coming king. And what we talked about, he's the King of Kings. In the Old Testament, it's prophecy that he's a coming king. Guess what? He's still a coming king. He came, but he's still a coming king. How many of you know that Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't the first one to say, I'll be back? He just didn't use those words. Okay? Jesus made it very clear, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back as the King of Kings. And he's coming back for those who are his. Okay? Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, if that doesn't get you smiling, you may be dead. Spiritually, I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If you can hear that and a smile doesn't come to your face, I don't know. I can't keep a smile off my face when I hear that. I get to spend eternity with Jesus, my Lord, in heaven. I mean, I was sharing with someone earlier, and we were kind of joking about it, in that it's okay to have okay days, but I want them to be my lower limit. Because I'd rather have good days. And I'd rather have better days, which are even better than good days. So I'm going to stoop to okay days. But I want good days and better days. But even on my best days here on earth, I ain't even going to be close to what it's going to be like in heaven. And that makes me smile. I get to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, the King of Kings, my Lord and my Savior. So I'm going to close with that. We're not going to be quite done. I'm going to ask Randy a favor. Okay. I'm sure he'll be able to do this. Now, for those of you who are Bible scholars, maybe it doesn't even take a scholar because you don't have to do too much studying to see this. We read in Luke the account, and it is probably the most brief account of the Last Supper. And it doesn't share this in Luke. But both in Matthew and Mark, it tells us what Jesus and his disciples did after they took the Last Supper. They sang a hymn. So that's what I'm going to ask Randy to lead us in. I'd love us all to end this by singing a song that we sang before, and that is Nothing But the Blood. We'll close there and afterwards if there's announcements to make, but I would love to end my sharing time with Randy leading us in Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Amen?